This was discovered, compiled by Brother and Sister Edith of Newbury. Chapter 6. From a Soldier of the Crown to a Soldier of Christ. The turning point in my life came in 1939. But to understand how it came about, I have to go back to my very early years, when the religious basis to my life was laid. What I am now developed from those beginnings. I was 5 years old when I started Sunday school at the Baptist church, which was next door to where we lived. My grandfather had been a Baptist, and I understood that he had had a short spell at Spurgeon's College, a draining college for Baptist ministers. But in my young years, both my grandparents attended a congregational church, whereas my parents attended the Baptist church. I was one of 8 children, and we were all brought up in the Sunday school and church, so that the background to our lives was a religious one centred on the Baptist church. In my early teens, I had a desire to be a missionary, no doubt resulting from the sermons, and also an inherent desire to do good and be helpful. Later in my teens, I was appointed Sunday school secretary, with the Sunday school numbering nearly 200, and also a sidesman in the church. In 1939, when I was 20, I was appointed the church organist until war came on 3rd of September. I left home in 1939 to go into the Royal Army Ordnance Corps at Portsmouth. There were, however, 2 factors which showed up to be significant. One was that in 1938-9, I had on 2 separate occasions avoided baptism when being asked about it by the minister. The other was that I went for the Army Medical. But when I went for the Army Medical, I told the recruiting officer that I wanted to go into the RAOC, as it was a non-combatant corps. Otherwise, I would have been a conscientious objector. As an aside, there was an occasion when we as a family were on holiday in August 1938, and the war was being discussed in the newspapers. At lunch, the subject cropped up, and I said that if war came, I would be a conscientious objector. To which my father replied, "No son of mine will be a conscientious objector." Now, on that holiday, I met the first cousin of my father, who was on holiday nearby with her daughter. I did not know it at the time, but that the mother was a Christadelphian in London, with a sister in the Portsmouth Ecclesia. In October 1938, the daughter moved to Southsea to live with her aunt and was baptised in 1939. We had started a friendship from the 1938 holiday, but because of unsettling features about my life at that stage, I was asking God in my bedside prayers to show me the way I should go, not even imagining what would happen. Thus it was that when I visited the young lady at Southsea on a Sunday afternoon in June 1939, her encore began discussions with me on the truth, the first subject being that of the Trinity. I had to admit that it did not make sense, and therefore I did not really believe it. Other subjects arose on several other occasions whereby I was made to realise that I did not have proper knowledge nor understanding of Bible teaching. Therefore, when I entered the army on 16th of September 1939, I gave my religion as being Christadelphian and started attending the Portsmouth Ecclesia. The brethren were concerned that I had given my religion as Christadelphian in case it prejudiced the conscientious objection of their members. But on the other hand, it gave me the freedom to attend my place of worship on Sundays. On 25th of November, following an interview with the examining brethren and a special ecclesial meeting to discuss my position, I was baptised and became a member of the Portsmouth Christadelphian Ecclesia. At this stage, the young lady concerned and I were close friends. My father was very upset at my giving up the Baptist church. And there was in fact a Baptist church close to the Christadelphian Hall, which he wanted me to attend. I saw my father shortly afterwards and had a discussion with him, But from then on there was a breach which lasted 3 years. It was only healed following the birth of our daughter in 1942. My position in the army was that of a clerk in the company office, and after my baptism I sent a letter to the company officer explaining my position. He interviewed me, but nothing definite happened. Brother Fred Mitchell was in touch with the War Office, but I heard nothing at the time. The RAOC was declared to be fully combatant, and rifles were issued, including one to me. In January 1914, there were severe wintry conditions, snow, ice and fog. Because of the deteriorating circumstances affecting my young lady as well as myself, we decided to become engaged, and feeling it to be necessary to inform my parents, I tried to phone, but the lines were down and no contact was made. On the last Sunday in January, I returned to barracks and found I was booked to go on a draft at Aldershot on the Tuesday to be kitted out to go over to France. The draft was cancelled at the last moment as no trains could be moved because of the ice and snow. A week later, I was drafted to Bramley between Basingstoke and Reading, there to be kitted out for overseas. With the help of the Portsmouth Brethren, I had a letter already written, which I posted to the commanding officer on arrival at the new unit. On receiving it, he called me into his office and we had a discussion, from which it was agreed that I should go into the quartermaster's office as a clerk to work on the clothing ledgers. The QM was very sympathetic to my position, and through him I was enabled to go to Sunday meetings at Reading, even on some Sundays when all were confined to camp. The draft I was taken off was kitted out and sent to Norway, but we heard later they'd been wiped out by the Germans on arrival. I soon had my bicycle sent from home by my mother, and for the duration of the war covered at least 25,000 miles. I was demobbed in January 1946. In June 1940, my fiancé left her aunt and uncle and moved to Reading, staying temporarily with brother and sister Harold Joyner. By January 1941, she'd found a two-roomed flat and we arranged to get married on the 29th of January. I had 10 days leave for the honeymoon in Bedfordshire, together with a hired Ford 8 and extra petrol coupons because of the occasion. My situation at camp was generally accepted, although I was the only one without a rifle. On two separate occasions, the RSM tried to get me court-martialed, but it must have been blocked by the commanding officer. For the rest of the war, there was always the uncertainty, but I was so well blessed by the Lord that I had no offensive opposition and remained in the quartermaster's office on the clothing ledgers, apparently well thought of by the QM for my work, being trustworthy and conscientious. The QM later tried to get me promoted to have more pay, but this was not agreed by the higher-ups and I remained a private, and in any case I could not have accepted any promotion. My position throughout was unique and in no way to be taken as a precedent. On looking back over those years, I can quite clearly see how the Lord God was directing my way in life, even in my teens. The way that led me to the meeting with my father's first cousin's daughter, the first contact with the truth and guided me through to baptism, and subsequently through the uncertainties and difficulties of the war years. It continued after the war, so that I became then fully committed to the Ecclesia at Portsmouth as the focus of my service to the Lord and to the brethren and sisters. One final point, I did not know that my father's first cousin was a Christadelphian until I came into contact with the truth, and on joining the Portsmouth Ecclesia in 1939, I then discovered that my mother had a first cousin whose family were members of Portsmouth Ecclesia, and whose son is a member now and lives in the same road as myself. I now put the question to all, how much faith is needed to see and understand how the Lord God works in our lives to direct our steps in his way, even changing the pattern of our lives to bring us into the truth, and then to guide our lives in the truth. I am myself utterly and completely convinced of the truth of Paul's words, that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. God never yet forsook in need the man that trusted him indeed. I shall always feel deep gratitude to the brethren and sisters of the Portsmouth Ecclesia initially, and to the brethren and sisters of the Reading Ecclesia throughout the war years, for their unfailing loving support and assistance. Thank you.